The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
They win one of the next two games. I win the bet, correct?
Very clearly say what the bet is.
That the Cubs are going to win this series. They're going to win three games out of five games. You guys were just aghast that I would pick the Cubs to win the series one, but especially that I would pick them to sweep the doubleheader. But I want to go over why I saw this coming. You played Super Mario Brothers before? You're familiar with what happens when you touch the star?
You become invincible.
Are you familiar with the part where you start flashing after you touch the star and it starts weakening? 30 out of 35 is impressive. 35 out of 40? No, that wasn't happening.
Swinging a line drive, base hit, left center field. It goes all the way to the wall. Three-run double, Michael Busch. Driven in the air, deep left field. Back goes Collins. This ball's got a chance. Gone! Matt Shaw with a long home run to left. The stretch for the 0-2. It's on the way. Line drive towards second. Caught by Nico Horner. Nico Horner makes the catch, and the Cubs win the ball game. What a dramatic ninth inning at Wrigley.
Pay that man his money.
Tell him to bring me my money. Yeah!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now, live from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom in Las Vegas, here are your hosts, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris.
Hello and good morning.
What
like,
up?
Like Russ said, we are live from the Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas because we're here for contest weekend. Circa Million, Circa Survivor, and Circa Grandissimo, if you really want to ball out. If you do, we need to know who you are because we could use your help later for, I don't know, like money stuff. Anyway, this is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast from Circa Live through the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers, Ray Diaz, is here joining us. We have the fabulous Ray Regal. He is also here engineering on the ones and twos. Alan is running things as well. Mitch Rosen is also out here. You can text us 312-644-6767. We get it here in Vegas. You can hang out with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You see us right now. And then if you look in the background, you can see Ray just hanging out.
What
He's
up,
right
Ray?
Here. He's over Marshall's shoulder. Our video producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And we begin with, sadly, not the news that the Cubs are now 3-0 in the Vanga Boys era of this team.
I think that's important, though, to note. I'm glad you brought that up.
Ever since they played the Vanga Bus is Coming before the doubleheader, when we first heard Kyle Tucker talk about his now confirmed injury.
Funny how that works.
The Cubs are 3-0. Their Cubs are 3-0 in the Vanga Boys era.
Not just 3-0, 3-0 against the team, last I checked, with the best record in all of baseball.
Take them to Six Flags, man. Actually, you would be taking them to Disneyland because that's where they're staying, maybe about 10 minutes away from in Anaheim.
That is absolutely fact. That is a monster West Coast trip. Excited about that. But first, some business to handle, not only on the field, but also what? After the game with Craig Counsell?
That was a mini roller coaster, not to continue with the theme park.
No, go ahead.
Here.
Roll with it.
But that was a mini roller coaster in and of itself. Was the excitement of that 4-3 ball game. You see how Daniel Palencia closed it out. Tremendous defense as well. We'll get into that in a little bit. But you're also having to start with the fact that after the high of the game, a report comes out from Jesse Rogers right afterward. And the headline is Cubs Kyle Tucker diagnosed in June with fracture in hand. So it turns out originally the eye test did confirm what we were all seeing out of his production in July. The highlights of this say, quote, he was sore for a little while, but was able to play, Counsell said after that Cubs 4-3 win. And the headline from Jesse Rogers, the first paragraph, Cubs right fielder Kyle Tucker, who has been given several days off this week for a reset amid his struggles at the plate, was diagnosed in June with a hairline fracture in his right hand. Manager Craig Counsell confirmed Wednesday night. If Jesse hadn't uncovered this, if Jesse hadn't had a source who told him that Tucker was indeed injured after sliding into second base and that x-rays on the finger were initially negative, then come to find out, further imaging showed a slight fracture on the top of his right hand where the pinky and the ring finger meet. If he hadn't reported that, where would we be right now in this knowledge and knowing that this had finally come to a head in a way that was inefficient for a team still trying to take its division back?
Layla, is this gaslighting? Is it gaslighting when you go back and look at all the things that we were told up until this point before the Jesse Rogers report? By the way, which came to us while we were mid-flight watching the game on Marquee, so I'm having to, like, minimize the actual game to read the Jesse Rogers story. Ray and I are looking at each other like, yeah, that's not good.
I had just gotten to Circa, and I'm, you know, settling in my cool little room with the little couch and the desk that I like to work at. Got my mise en place, you know, my routine.
Here's why I asked.
Then I look at it and I go, what? But and here's the worst part. Everybody was correct. I don't think it was gaslighting, though, having been gaslight by men who unfortunately matter to me in some way, shape, or form many times. Because Kyle Tucker didn't tell you were crazy. Tucker didn't shy away from it. He didn't dismiss it. He didn't tell you were being dramatic. Neither did Craig Counsell. But because of that, we kept trying to learn more and more about this, and now here we are.
Well, I wasn't accusing Kyle Tucker of gaslighting us necessarily. I just meant more from an organizational standpoint. Here's why.
Sorry, I went into old habits real quick.
No. Listen, here's why. This is what Jed Hoyer had to say recently. Not today, not yesterday, not the day before the Brewer series. Quote, there's no question that when you look at his numbers, it's had an impact on him for sure. That's the nature sometimes of these small injuries. They can do that. Here's my thing. A fractured finger on your right hand as a baseball player, I don't know how you can call that small.
You know, I'm reminded of the phrase that Ryan Pace used when it came to whether or not the team was going to franchise tag Allen Robinson, who at that time had earned an extension. Now, how much and for how long, that never got to be realized. And when he was asked about it, he used the phrase, we're going to use the tools that are available to us. And he's right to do so. And I feel like players in Major League Baseball with the strongest union in all of professional sports also have the right to do so. But the issue is, this affected the team. And when you see the results, it's very hard to argue that once he did come out, and Ian Happ told us even in conversation yesterday, Marshall, we got to hear from a player himself talking about why veterans who've earned their spots, a little bit about, he gave us an inside look as to how hard it is to come out of a ball game or not want to play every day. That's what they want to do. That's what they're wired to do. So we respect that. But in saying that, whether it's the Vanga bus or it's the adjustment without Kyle Tucker, they're 3-0 since this came to a head.
Not only are they 3-0, but again, they're doing it in what has been circled on the calendar as the biggest series of the second half. When you're talking about 5 games in 4 days against the Brewers, winning 3 of the first 4, a chance to take 4 out of 5 and game 3 games in the standings. I think the biggest thing as we talk about this on Raheem and Harris, we're in Vegas, by the way, so celebrating Circa Million, Circa Survivor here at Circa Resort and Casino. Listen. When it comes to how you perceive what has happened on the field and the fact that Kyle Tucker has been in that lineup day after day after day hasn't been able to actually do anything to propel this team further, as he did in the first half, all credit being given, leading a lineup of all-stars and arguable all-stars when you talk about guys like Seiya Suzuki to go along with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Everybody was hunky-dory.
Everybody was good.
Was hunky-dory.
And for good reason. And I know.
In June, he had a 982 OPS.
A 982 OPS. It is in the 500s since then, is my point. And so you have to nip this in the bud. To go, you know, 10 days or so and say, let's see if you can go through this, is one thing. But to go a month and a half, that's negligible for everyone involved. Excuse me. Negligent for everyone involved.
Well, unfortunately, the difference on the field may have been negligible. You know, that the words are there. And as we said, we're trying to figure this out the whole time, right? Right city, wrong zip code. Was it the shin? Could he have also re-aggravated the shin? And that's why this was an issue. And in the reporting we did on Monday's show, we also pointed out that, or maybe it was Tuesday's show. I don't know what day it is anymore. But in the reporting
it's
we did.
It's Thursday. I'm here.
That,
I got you.
But in the reporting we did, talking about his shin, part of it was the discussion in Houston about how it felt like a cover-up in a way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I see a parallel in either his addressing of it, and I think it's team's job to always protect the player. We understand that part. There's certain business truths that we know, right? But when Pat Murphy says he knows he's injured, confidently on the radio on Mullen Haw, your biggest rival, at least as far as the record is concerned in the division, your biggest rival manager says he's injured. Pretty obvious. The only person you may be hiding it from is either the team, yourself, or the fans. And that's where I take issue.
So, a couple of things here. Number one, the fact that they're 3-0 without him is great because it's we can do well without Kyle Tucker. It's not just the name that needs to be there. You need his actual peak Kyle Tucker performance. So I hope they take every measure from here until the end of the regular season to make sure he is playoff ready. Because while they did just win three games in a row and might win four games in a row against the Brewers, they know they need a max Kyle Tucker to be able to have World Series aspirations and the idea that that can come to fruition.
He helped get him there.
He helped get him there. And you know you're a better team with a healthy Kyle Tucker in your lineup. I think that's one thing. But the other thing is this. Listening to Craig Counsell last night was straight up painful. In the post-game press conference, because remember, the story broke during the game from Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com. To listen to Craig Counsell try to explain why Kyle Tucker was still there is wild. Take a listen to what Craig Counsell had to say when asked about it.
I think that's kind of out there. It's he injured his hand in a slide. Initial x-rays were negative. Sat out a day. I think we had an off day. Sat out a day. Pinch hit the next day. And then he was kind of sore but good to go. You know, he was sore for a little while but was able to play. We did some more imaging, and it showed a small fracture that was healing. And, you know, that's it. You know, is it possible that this has caused a kind of like through the playing through it change some things? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably likely that at some point that happened. But he, you know, he wanted to play.
Been any imaging since?
No.
So do you guys feel like the fracture is healed at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, hasn't been an issue.
So if you want to know what those two questions were at the end there, the follow-up questions, the first question was, have they had any imaging since they discovered the initial fracture? The answer was no. The follow-up question to that was, oh, well, are we sure that it's completely healed? He said, yeah, it's completely healed. How do you know unless you have taken another look at it? Are you just going on the player's word saying, I feel better now? Because the production on the field doesn't say, I feel better now.
No, nothing about this looks better. And Marshall, tell me about the brace you have on your knee right now.
Oh, I've got a static stabilizer, which let me tell you, if you're not in first class or you don't have the exit row seating, couldn't wear this on the plane, but I was told by my ortho yesterday, you need to have this on until we get that MRI done on Monday.
Additional imaging. What happens when you don't treat an injury a lot of the time?
It gets worse. You have setbacks that you didn't even know existed because you didn't know that things had gotten worse. Got to stay on top of it.
I just don't know how you can look at the last month and a half and say this was working.
It wasn't working. That the record shows that. Kyle Tucker's batting average below 200, below the Mendoza line since the start of July, also shows that. We are on the back end of August, by the way. We're in the 20s, August 21st. This isn't August 5th, August 10th. We're over a month and a half since the start of July, and Kyle Tucker, the guy you gave up so much for, is hitting 189 since the start of July.
This segment is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We're talking about Kyle Tucker's injury and the report that Jesse Rogers from ESPN had that, yes, indeed, he had a slight fracture in his hand when he slid into second base.
Layla.
In June.
Layla, read that breaking news. The breaking news reader you have pulled up.
You got it. We're live at Circa. So.
Oh, my goodness. You're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
Go.
Our orientation here is a little bit different when it comes to what we've got. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
So there's that. Here's the breaking news after we just let you listen to what Craig Counsell was talking about. So the lineup's out, Layla. Fifth and final game against the Brewers. They've already won the series, but if they win the game today, they will cut the lead in the division to 5 games.
Yeah, I got a dollar for you, by the way. And it's not from the street. It's from the Jewels.
I love that it's from the Jewel, a cleaner version of a dollar.
You're getting my dirty
dollar. But before we get to that, and we could talk about this in the next segment, this is lends to the conversation. Michael Busch is leading off playing first base. Batting second and back in right field is Kyle Tucker.
What?
Kyle Tucker is back in the starting lineup today. So clearly whatever they
y'all
thought.
Y'all better play that Vanga bus on repeat because I don't know how you're going to do this.
I'll go ahead and give you the rest of the lineup since we're here. Seiya Suzuki batting third, playing DH. Pete Crow Armstrong is in center field batting cleanup against Quinn Priester, who has been red hot, by the way. Nico Horner will bat sixth and play second base. Willie Castro will play third base and bat seventh.
Willie Castro's saving everybody.
Dansby Swanson will play shortstop and bat eighth. Reese McGuire will play catcher and bat ninth. On the hill is Shota Imanaga for the Cubs, who has been excellent, by the way, at Wrigley Field.
So the name I don't hear in that is Owen Casey.
You don't hear Owen Casey. Oh, there's another name I think that's bigger than Owen Casey that you don't hear in that.
Matt Shaw,
who has been the spark plug among spark plugs this entire second half.
Tell me how you're going to make this work, but I need the Vanga bus on repeat in the clubhouse.
Okay.
And as we understand, by the way, our intrepid reporter, Bruce Levine, he is working on the audio for us right now. So not only will we find out what the background sound is.
Wait. We've got Kyle Tucker audio?
We also have Kyle Tucker.
Oh, my goodness.
And listen, I understand. We just heard Ian Happ tell us in a very real-time conversation how somebody wants to play. That conversation. So he's telling that to us on a microphone. I can only imagine what it's like saying something to your manager about wanting to play and knowing what you can do as a professional athlete who has earned his keep on a team. Now, also consider what Kyle Tucker has done offensively throughout his career. And I understand that those conversations might be difficult. But at some point, we're all seeing the same thing.
That's why I said, are we being gaslit? Because
I think the better question is, who's bending to whom and why?
So if Kyle Tucker produces today, do we put this somewhat under the table, or is it worse if he goes 0 for today and then people have questions? Because remember,
he needs to get a hit for himself today. Because
I don't think a hit is going to solve the issue, though. He's batting second again, and remember what I said, it's the fact that Craig Counsell couldn't not necessarily just not take him out of the lineup. That's one thing. He didn't even consider moving him down in the lineup as he struggled with his power and his slug.
Right, and that's a big part of this. Is it's been now over a month since he's hit a home run. The extra base hits haven't been there. And we see what happens without him in the lineup. And I understand, man. I understand you think you can do the most for your team. But your bosses sometimes have to tell you what's really going on. And unfortunately, we're going to face all of this real time. And you can hear that game, by the way, right here on The Score. Today, the Cubs wrap up the series against the Brewers at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage is at 12:45. First pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I flew Southwest to get here, and I was happy about it. We have more coming up. Do we think we can turn that Kyle Tucker audio? All right. Let's
we're going to have it.
Bruce with it. Kyle Tucker talking about being in the lineup today after reports from Jesse Rogers about how, yes, indeed, he did have a fracture in his hand. That is all coming up next here on Raheem and Harris as we are live from the Circa Casino Galaxy Ballroom on The Score.
Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I think Tucker's hurt. I don't have any information, but Tucker's not the same. He's hurt, and he's playing through it, and he's such a class kid. He probably doesn't mention it to anyone. And that kid's I don't know him, but everything I hear and watching him play the game, he's first class, and he wouldn't complain of something that's bothering him because he doesn't want an excuse. He feels that responsibility. But I would say there's probably something physically going on there.
That was Pat Murphy to Mully and Haw earlier this week on 670 The Score. This is Raheem and Harris. We broadcast live from Circa Resort and Casino's Galaxy Ballroom here in Las Vegas. And once again, we get you ready for Cubs baseball in what looks like a much more winnable game. Now to close out the series against the Brewers, and we find out the news that Kyle Tucker, despite reportedly knowing he had a fracture, which Craig Counsell confirmed yesterday, is back in the lineup, batting second.
Batting second, and also, I wanted to know, I was like, mate, does Kyle Tucker have like these amazing numbers lifetime against Quinn Priester, the starter for the Brewers? So Kyle Tucker, he is 1-for-3 lifetime against Quinn Priester with an RBI and 2 walks, no strikeouts. Also, Matt Shaw not in the lineup. 1-for-2 lifetime against Quinn Priester. So these are very small sample sizes with a double.
Matt Shaw owns Quinn Priester. He's batting .500 against him.
If you want good news, the three Cubs who have homered off Quinn Priester in his career are all in the lineup. That would be Michael Bush, Pete Crow Armstrong, and Nico Horner.
And you like those chances for the big game at Wrigley to close out this crucial series before they head to Orange County of Anaheim of Southern California of the 949 Angels
Disneyland.
Of Los Angeles Angels, Los Angeles. Without further ado.
Anaheim.
Right. Without further ado, let's listen. Thanks to Bruce Levine, Kyle Tucker speaking in the clubhouse earlier, just moments ago.
Craig was telling us last night just about the situation where there's the fracture in your finger. Can you take us through the injury to how you were feeling and just the decisions that were made along the way to, 'cause you did want to play and play through it?
Yeah. I mean, after, you know, sliding play in June or whatever, I don't know, just kind of started hurting over the next inning or two and whatever, and I just came out. I thought I just kind of jammed it or whatever. It was kind of swollen. Did some x-rays or whatever, and looked fine, and still was kind of bothering me. I don't know how, like, time frame-wise after that. And did some more and said it. Saw a little, like, small fracture in there, and but it was already, like, you know, a week or two or whatever after that. So where, you know, it was already healing, and but I just kept playing through it. Just thought, you know, at some point it'd go away, and just kind of stuck around for a little bit, but I was playing and felt fine, so I was hitting the ball and everything, so it's just kind of how it went.
You did really well after the injury. Mm-hmm. For about, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks, and then it numbers dropped off. Was there something that you felt differently after that period of time that maybe helped you or caused you to change your mechanics at all?
I mean, I didn't really try and change my mechanics or anything. It might have gradually happened over time. I don't know. But I don't know. I was just kind of playing with it. And like you said, like, I was doing fine for a while. And obviously, after a while, it kind of turned. But I don't know if that's, like, you know, necessarily it, but or the reason why, but that's just kind of how things played out.
Is that making working through the adjustments a little more difficult because there's this idea where what was caused by the injury or what am I trying to work through? Is it mechanical? Like, there could be more questions that you're trying to figure out?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much it, like, really affected, like, my setup and, like, swing and everything. I mean, it didn't feel great at the time, but, I mean, I just kind of dealt with it, and obviously you just make adjustments to go out there and play, and you know, I'm sure other people have you know, some things going on too that they just play with and make the adjustment with. So it's just kind of how things go.
Did anything positive come out of it? Or
We won a few games, so that was positive.
For you personally.
So, I mean, it was good. I mean, you know, I got to see our team win, and, you know, felt good in the cage and everything, so hopefully we can, you know, win another game today.
Just curious, you know, you haven't missed much time in your career, but last year you did. Does that kind of in the back of your head when you go through this, like, yeah, I want to play through this because I did miss a lot of time last year?
I don't know. I want to play regardless. I'm sure everyone in here wants to play, whether they're going through things or not. I mean, you know, it's our job to go out there and be on the field and play, so... I mean, that's just what, you know, people do when they're in sports. They just want to go out there and play and be on the field and, you know, help the team.
Were there any conversations after you saw the fracture about NIL sit because you didn't want to aggravate it more or anything like that?
I mean, I was already playing through it for, I don't know, however long. And, like, I was doing fine and everything and still playing well. So I was just like, I'm just going to keep playing. Like, there's wasn't really, like, a need to go on an IL because I could still do everything. It was just more of like a pain tolerance at that point rather than like I physically couldn't do anything, so it's just kind of how it was.
Do you feel like it was a valuable mental break?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I'd rather be out there playing and everything, but I mean, still won, you know, 3 games, so it was good.
I know it's not your personality, but in retrospect, would it have been easier on you if you just let people know there was a fracture there at that time? I know it's not your style.
I don't know. I mean, there's, I'm sure you could have gone a couple of different ways or whatever, but I mean, I felt good enough to go out there and play and, you know, confident that I could go out there and do it well. So that's just kind of how things went.
After the injury, is it still pain tolerance or are you completely past it?
I'm pretty much past it. I mean, it's fine. I've been playing the whole time anyways and, you know, I've been feeling good. So I'm all right.
Just the ancillary injuries as well. I mean, you know, those are obvious when we watch nail yourself on a shin with a foul ball or crash into a wall or hit the ground. Those things impact you as well. I mean, you're obviously human.
I mean, that stuff just kind of happens in the game and over time. I mean, that's kind of just part of the game. I know, you know, every sport has their own kind of things that beat up your body, but I mean, that's just kind of how things are in baseball, and you just got to do your best to maintain your body. And, you know, we play so many games that you just got to do your best to be healthy to go out there every single day.
I mean, that's so ambiguous. The answer is even now that he's given, because he can't give us a timetable as to when he was like, oh, you know, after that, I felt kind of better. I'd already been dealing with it after however much time that was. There was just so much ambiguity there that you can't even take anything he's saying there and being like, okay, I understand now. I still don't have specific answers.
Why? Why was this the way this went down? And we got the why a little bit in there. And I think Bruce got closest to it. I'm not just saying that because he's our reporter. I'm saying that because he's the one who I felt like got closest to the question. But I want to remind everybody, first of all, the initial statement about Tucker was a few days off. It's been two days off. Do you think that's going to fix the problem of hitting 189 since July and your ground ball rate is 54%?
And you're a line drive fly ball hitter. That's what you do. We're talking
you're
about
an extra base hitter. If you're on a better team, are you sitting because they think that they can afford to be without you for a few days? If he's on the hot-hitting Brewers before they face the Cubs playing the Vangabust, if he's on that team, you know, where Andrew Vaughn's mashing everything in sight, do they sit him in that case? You know, when we talk about the practices of other teams and how they prepare and they're set up for the playoffs, well, like, these are the questions I ask. Could this have been avoided? Could you have gone better than 14-10 in the month of July?
We just listened to Kyle Tucker here on Rahimi and Harris. We're broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, having a great time here on Radio Row, but not necessarily a great time listening to the over 4 minutes from Kyle Tucker trying to explain how we got here as he's back in the lineup for the series finale against the Brewers, a game the Cubs sorely need to win if they have designs still on a division title as opposed to, say, the top wild card spot. And a couple of things that he said really stick out. Mm-hmm. He talks about pain tolerance. Well, the problem with pain tolerance is when he talks about it's my job to go out there and do it, that means he's willing to play through pain. that's part of the problem here. If you have pain in your hand as a hitter, every time you hit, pain, and you're just working through it, and you're like, I'm just trying to tough it out. Where is the medical staff? Where is Craig Counsell to talk him into sitting? Like you said, Layla, a few days. Those are the words of Craig Counsell, not us.
If you don't play him today, having already won the series, and I owe Marshall this crisp Jules dollar, if you don't play him today, you're looking at three games in Anaheim against the Angels. Easy peasy. Then you've got a day off against before you go face the Giants. So likely scenario, they fly straight from Anaheim up the coast to San Francisco. So you got a day off in San Francisco. Then there are three games against the Giants. Then there are three games against the Rockies. Theoretically, a few days, which turned into two, could have been a longer stretch that might have let him rest up more and be his best self. And that's always what I'm trying to say. I know I've been on repeat recently, and you're going to hear more of it at 11 o'clock when we go through the Seth Wickersham book, because that is important. But I can't sit here and say this has worked. And he made the point. He's like, they've won without me. And I understand you've got to want to play. You've got to want to play. You've got to want to have a short memory. You have to program yourself to know how to move past this quickly. But somebody's got to dwell on this a little bit more here.
The end of those questions and answers with Kyle Tucker, where he said a couple of things. I felt good enough to go out there and play. Well, we already have established from your words that Kyle Tucker, the athlete, feels like if he's not maimed, basically, he has a duty to his team to go out there and play baseball. And then he was asked about, well, is this affecting you in any way? He said, quote, I'm pretty much past it. Well, when you say pretty much past it, that means you're not all the way past it. That's how I take that, Layla.
Yeah, and again, you know, the context clues are here as to why, like, Pat Murphy was like, he's such a class kid. He's not going to want to sit out. And you hear the empathy when he says that. But unfortunately for the team on the other side, the one who's dealing with it, they're the ones having to explain it away. I'm pretty much past it. I've been playing the whole time. I'm all right. There's no sign to me that this injury is healed. And if you refuse to get imaging, how do we know for sure? You said they'd better have a come to Jesus meeting with him. I said that come to Jesus should come in the form of an MRI.
I mean, you're not wrong. And so what we've learned is that's not what they're going to do. That's not what they're going to do. Craig Counsell has just showed you with his lineup today that that's not what they're going to do. They're going to play Kyle Tucker because, as you said, Layla, is this the Cubs or is this the fighting Kyle Tuckers? I'm not sure.
We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. We'll talk about the game from last night because it is worth discussion.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially when there are people who absolutely contributed who aren't in that lineup getting ready for the finale today. So we will do that next here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris. Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
The stretch for the 0-2. It's on the way. Line drive towards second. Caught by Nico Horner. Nico Horner makes the catch. And the Cubs win the ball game. What a dramatic ninth inning at Wrigley.
This was unbelievable. I mean, this might be the loudest I've ever seen this place. You know, the fans came out today, and we played a really good ball game.
That's right. It was a really good ball game. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. You heard Pat and Ron there. You also heard the marquee broadcast. And we broadcast live through The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers from the Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. We are getting you ready for football contest weekend. That was a tremendous game we got to see. The Cubs win 4-3, taking the series, which, as you know, I didn't think was possible. So, Marshall.
Yeah.
This is not
bring
from
me
the
my
street.
Money.
This is from the Jewel in Wicker Park. It was crisp when I got it, but now it's folded a little because it was in my tiny wallet.
It traveled. It
my
traveled
party wallet because I'm going out to Circa. This is your dollar.
Thank you, Layla.
The ceremony is being broadcast
you,
on Twitch.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate you guys contributing. I don't know why you doubted me in the demonstrative.
Mitch is also
pitching
a dollar.
Okay, Ray, Robbie, this is not your dollar, Robbie. This is not your dollar, Robbie.
Ray, whoa, Ray, just, whoa, 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 he, okay. Whoa, Ray, whoa. Ray Ragle, our engineer, who has been sitting in the background. You can see him on
Twitch. He did not pull out a George Washington. He pulled out something very different.
Where are you going to use those ones in Vegas, Marshall?
That was a Benjamin.
I will probably use them collectively as tip money.
Look at this. See, we don't have Ray Ragle money.
Oh, it's a copy. It's not a real. Oh, it feels like a not real dollar.
I'm taking this to the casino, guys. Yeah, how do you think
I don't want you to get arrested, so don't do that.
But the fun part is we get to be happy about giving you money. The Cubs proved us all wrong. Yes, they are 3-0 in the Vangabus era.
The not fun part, Layla, is the fact that Matt Shaw, you heard him on the way in, excited. I mean, did you see his face after he hit that home run? What ended up being the game-deciding run on that home run? Matt Shaw has been the Cubs' best hitter since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline. However you want to slice it, however you want to cut it, that man has produced, and yet we're not going to see him in the lineup today. Maybe we'll see him as a pinch hitter. He, Owen Casey, both out of the lineup for today's series finale. I don't know how you feel about that, but last night was as electric as a game. Colin Ray, I owe you an apology. I have many times doubted your ability as a starting pitcher, but for him to go out in a game in which Craig Counsell would say after the game, hey, we needed length, and we really needed him to go six. He went 5 2/3, and those two extra outs in the sixth inning were huge. Mm-hmm. Pitching around trouble, getting out of trouble. Colin Ray did his thing. But what they did to Jacob Mizrowski, let that be kind of a warning as to how effective the Cubs lineup can be, even when they're not getting hits. It was three straight walks, which led to Michael Busch getting a pitch to hit that he drilled into the opposite field gap for a three-run double. But what set that up? The Matt Shaw at-bat before. An 11-pitch at-bat in which he couldn't get a bunt down. Runners on first and second, nobody out. But he was able to, within that at-bat, be like, okay, I didn't get the job done that I was tasked to do, but I can still have a quality at-bat. And to fight Jacob Mizrowski and that type of gas for 11 pitches to draw the walk, which set up the Busch three-run double, that's the only hit that Mizrowski gave up.
And I also think that that's part of the strategy when you get into the four-game series, the multi-day series, the fifth game now that we're going to talk about today. It's such a rarity. It feels like a playoff series because of, A, the excitement level, B, the quality of the opponent, C, the length of the series, you know, and what we're seeing now. But also knowing as a hitter, your job is to, when you don't get the pitch you want, keep fouling them off if you can. Keep trying to get more looks at it. Ian Happ's talked to us about this a lot, especially in his role when he was hitting leadoff. The concept of every pitch that you make that guy throw is another one that could chase him from a game. And if you work that bullpen more, day four, day five, what is going to happen? That's the finer point of this that I always think is not just valued, but really the details are made.